Hello and welcome to Improve Your Voice. My name is Darren McStay, and today I'm going to be reviewing and taking a look at the voice of Brené Brown.
Design is a function of connection.
So Brené Brown is an American professor, author. She's done some very popular TED Talks, and she's a speaker. And she talks about often the topic of vulnerability, which is an interesting topic, especially when it comes to the voice, because sometimes in order to step up and step out and use our voice in public, we have to really connect with our vulnerabilities. And so being such an influential speaker and very popular, I wanted to take a look one of her talks. So I just, you know, without kind of being too picky, I just picked the first one that came up, and this was from 2013. So let's just take a little look and listen, and let's see what we can get from Brené Brown.
How are you feeling about the 99 conference?
Before we go any further, did you see that? Did you see that? I'm going to show you that again. Watch.
How are you feeling about the 99 conference?
Did you see that? Did you get that? Did you see what she did? She went, she asked the question, she went, considered it. She let go. She let go of the air. Now that is it. That is something that people need to do more often. Letting go of that air. People hold on to their breath. People hold on with the question, and they try to think of it and they try to answer it, but they're not feeding their body any more oxygen to actually inspire the thoughts to work as they should. So she let go because she couldn't get it. She let go of the air. Then she breathed in again. Then she had the answer. Now, I'm always suggesting that because of breath feeding our minds and our bodies, these nutrients, that sometimes if we're holding on to breath, we're holding on to a question, we're not always going to find the answer and it becomes difficult. This happens with speakers a lot when they get stuck on stage and they're feeling vulnerable, funny enough, and they want to check their words and they know what they want to say but they can't remember it, and they hold their breath. People stop breathing. They stop breathing. Now, this is fundamental to life and the voice, so you need to breathe. So sometimes it's not all about breathing in and taking more oxygen in, because sometimes too much oxygen can make you feel more anxious and feed your anxiety. So what she did was actually very key, and it's a really good thing that you can learn. If you're stuck on stage or you're feeling anxious or you lose your words, breathe out. Sigh. Let it go. Give yourself a second. Breathe in again, and 99% of the time, where you were will come back to you. The things you needed to say will come back to you. You start to feel more confident, you start to feel more calm, and that is a really good example of someone who feels a bit anxious, not too sure about how she's going to answer the question, so she just lets it go. Literally lets go of physical tension, lets go of the air, breathes out carbon monoxide, and then starts again, refreshes herself. It's a key thing you should do. Brené Brown, thank you for demonstrating that. Let's carry on.
And my answer was, what do you think is the least invasive way to extract eyeball juice from a first grader? And his response was, oh God, are you in that place? And I said, no, really, here's the idea. There is a total pink eye epidemic in my son's class.
Let's look at one of the downsides of Brené Brown first. I think that she's not doing her voice any favors because she's often sitting on her pulse register, which means she's kind of keeping her voice up high, but she's slowing down her vocal fold vibrations. And so it's making a croaky sound. And so she starts off very well. She's very clear up here, and then she goes down here and gets stuck in her throat. And it sounds like there's a bit of damage when she does that. I don't think it is, but it does sound a bit, it weakens her voice, and it weakens personally the message, because it's so considered and it feels like there's insecurity behind it.
What do you think is the least invasive way to extract eyeball juice from a first grader?
It was different if she was able to keep the voice up and go down lower and really connect with those lower notes, but she's not. She's stopping there, and that could partly be to her accent, and I've said this before about other American speakers, because their air placement, the zone, is behind their nose. It's kind of up here somewhere like that, and so it's easy to kind of hit those pulse registers, because your voice is kind of aimed up here, and you can't really go down into your chest so easily. So this isn't a knock for Brené Brown, it's just an observation that she tends to do. Let's have a look at a little bit more.
And if I could get some of the juice, I could give myself pink eye, which would be a legitimate excuse not to go.
And if I could get some of the juice, where it would be nice and clear if she went, and really kind of woo, drop down and allowed, you know, sound to resonate more in those lower registers, she would be more impactful as a speaker, because she would be connecting with the words, not sort of dropping off of the words. And that's just an observation.
And I could even, like, you know, do a selfie with, like, a big eye, and then it would be legit. And he said, I
was told by a chiropractor some years ago that high heels are terrible for your voice, which is interesting, because I was never worn high heels myself, never had to, even in a show. But it's interesting where women do wear high heels, and what happens is when you are up on your toes, your spine and your legs are in different positions, so muscles that are supposed to be supporting get switched off. And so muscles which are supposed to be strong and are holding you up and holding your body in balance are kind of working overtime. And so this can put a strain on your spine, which is why I learned this from a chiropractor, I guess. And this, if your spine is out of alignment, you can't breathe correctly. And if you can't breathe correctly, you can't use your voice correctly, because the flow of air isn't going as it should. So once you put your body out of alignment, once your posture's out, it's really not going to help your voice, and it's not going to allow you to have enough breath support. And this is what's key here. Some people can train to do that, and people do train very well. But if you're not aware of it, it can just overtake the way you speak. And she's wearing heels here, and she's unsupported. And you can hear that unsupported thing when she's dropping down into the pulse register. There's no air down there to be able to push it forward and drop into her chest voice. And I wonder if it's because she's wearing heels. It's a possibility. It's quite likely that that's affecting her ability to speak. And it's not the fact that she's a great speaker. She's very well loved and very respected. But the heels, I don't think, are doing a very much use as a speaker. Maybe it makes her feel more confident because she's taller and she's open. But actually, you know, if the message she's using is with words, she could connect better with those words if she was with flat shoes and felt the ground and felt the earth beneath her.
I thought you were excited. And I said, I was excited. But as I was working on my keynote, I realized that I had kind of tricked myself into believing that this was my tribe. And then I realized, like, my obsession with fonts doesn't really make me one of you.
And she does this thing that I just did then. She does this thing that I just did again. What we do, we tend to do as humans, and it's a habit that we've learned from other people when we take them on board, is we use as a way to connect the dots. We're letting people know that I'm thinking. I haven't quite got the thought yet. So if I'm thinking about what to say, and everyone does it. It's very human. It's very natural. And that's what such a respected and well-loved speaker with such a great message like Brené Brown is able to say and get away with it, and no one picks her up on it. It means isn't a problem. It's not a problem. Don't worry about it. She's doing it quite often, and yet she's forgiven for it, because we know she's trying to find the right words. Every human understands this. And I've picked this up on my Toastmasters Why It's Not Good for the Voice video, not on the Why It's Good for the Voice video, where they will count your and there's this, it can make people very paranoid about saying which can make you very, like, jilted and robotic and sound unnatural, because sometimes saying is a very natural thing to do because it's habitual. Now, you can get out of those habits, and there's ways to do it, and there's nothing wrong with taking a pause rather than saying but it is a way of saying to your audience, just hang on a second, I'm finding my thought. And that's what it means. The is just saying, 1 second, 1 minute, I'll be right with you, just collecting myself. So don't worry about it. If you're someone that says and genuinely because you're trying to find what you're saying, no one's really, apart from a Toastmaster, going to pick you up on that. So don't worry about it. And it's good to see someone at this standard saying and it being acceptable. So you can maybe feel a bit lighter about yourself on that. It's not such a big deal. However, if you're doing it every sentence because you completely don't know what you're talking about, it's clear that you don't know what you're talking about, and those ums are filling in the gaps of you don't know what you're saying and you don't have any clue on your topic. And that's when it becomes an actual problem. So you should look at that. If you're someone who's doing it all the time to fill in gaps because there is no knowledge there, learn what you're talking about and you'll find that the ums become less and they'll be filled with words of wisdom and value instead. Right, let's carry on.
And he said, well, what was going on when you thought you were one of them? And I said, I don't know, I'm gonna have to think about it. And he said, you're a researcher, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not, a creative. And I said, no, these are the creatives. These are the people that no one sat with in high school and then everybody wants to be when they grow up.
She does this interesting thing. I think her posture and her neck is a little bit rounded as well. And she uses the neck because she tilts her head to side. She's very, she articulates with her hands. So she's like this, putting it forward, and she's telling her story physically.
And I said, no, these are the creatives. These are the people that no one sat with in high school and then everybody wants to be when they grow up.
She's not restricting her body. Her body wants to tell the story like this because that's how she physically feels it and that helps her get the words out. That's how she's using it. So once again, another thing that some people might say is bad form, but I say is completely human, completely natural, and you should really appreciate this, is that if something's in you and wants to come out, if there's words that need to be expressed, then you don't necessarily have the vocal expression to tell that story as colourfully as you'd like. Sometimes physicality will help you with that. You can use it. If you're on stage, if you're in front of people, they can see you. It's visual as well as audible. So you can move. You can gesticulate. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. If you feel like you need to move, you move. If you feel like you need to walk, walk. If you feel like you need to wave your hands in the air, do it. It's when you stop yourself from doing these things that it becomes awkward to watch, because tension looks terrible in real life. No one likes to look at tension, and tension's often when we're holding ourselves still, if we're stopping ourselves from doing anything. So she's got some habits which are considered not proper form, but she's free with them. She's allowing herself to just go for it. She did the sigh and showed everyone that she was a bit stuck and a little bit anxious, and she was getting over it. She says, she's wearing high heels and she's gesticulating quite a lot and telling a story like this. But none of it's a problem. And so she's a really good example of somebody who doesn't use proper form, yet is able to share her story in a very open, clear way. So stop judging yourself is what I would take from Brené Brown as a speaker. Too many people are holding themselves still, trying to be perfect. Too many people are trying to fit into a mold of perfection and trying to get everything right. You need to be free with yourself. You need to just give yourself a break and allow yourself to share your story however you can. And you're only going to do this by being A, relaxed, learning to breathe properly, and articulating yourself clearly. That's all you need to do. And know what you're talking about, actually. That's quite important too. So I've talked a bit about Brené's voice, but I guess really it's more her whole being as a speaker, and your whole body is doing some talking. You are sharing a story, you're sharing some information, whatever it is, you're using your whole entire being. And I've noticed now, since talking about physicality, I've become much freer as well, which is different in front of a camera because there's only so much space and you could disappear, and I don't want to do that. But anyway, thanks for watching. Hopefully people may have got something from this video. Fans of Brené, look out for that. People who've never seen her before, go and watch one of her TED Talks or one of her presentations, because she's very inspiring, and she talks a lot about vulnerability and how we can connect with those parts of ourselves that we may feel embarrassed about or shy about or not want to share with the world, which we should. So thanks for watching. My name's Darren McStay. This is Improve Your Voice. And until the next time, look after yourself.